Interview Media Servisa.
Greetings to all of our listeners and viewers. Our guest in Interview of the Week of Media Services, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and Director of EU Affairs of the Republic of Turkey, Faruk Aymakç. Your Excellency, welcome and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much and thank you for inviting me to your program.
Let's start with the reason why you came in Zagreb. Yesterday you participated in a panel on subject European challenges and the Turkish accession process. Turkey began the official negotiation in 2005 together with Croatia. Now we are already a member for a while, and where is your country in this process?
Okay, so I came to Croatia to have consultations both on Turkey-Croatia relations, but also on European affairs, because Croatia will be the president of the EU in the first half of 2020. So I thought that it would be a good idea to have consultations with our Croat colleagues. I was also at the Europe House, Zagreb, but I met also the members of your parliament. I met my colleagues in the Foreign Affairs and European Affairs Ministry. And I am also trying to see some old friends from Croatia. In terms of our accession process, as you mentioned, we started the accession negotiations together and we were advancing quite well. And Turkey had met, you know, the Copenhagen political criteria before we started the accession negotiations. But, you know, unlike your accession process, Turkey's accession process has been politically blocked by one or two member states. Basically, it's the Cyprus issue. Because of the Cyprus problem, you know, as soon as we started the accession negotiations, 8 chapters were blocked. On the insistence of the Greek Cypriots with the decision of the Council. But later on, the Greek Cypriots unilaterally blocked 6 more chapters. Altogether, 14 chapters were blocked because of the Greek Cypriot problem. Of course, Croatia had same difficulty with Slovenia, but nevertheless, I think Slovenia behaved and the EU gave the right message both to member Slovenia at that time and candidate Croatia, that they were able to find a solution somehow. And this is why the accession process of Croatia advanced and also was concluded with full membership. And we congratulate Croatia and we are happy that Croatia has completed this process and became part of the EU.
But you still want to be part of EU.
In our case, of course, you know, for us, the membership of Turkey to the EU, for us, is not a choice. It is some sort of obligation. Because if you are part of Europe, economically, commercially, politically, historically, geographically, you cannot remain outside of the EU mechanism. Because EU has become, you know, the main decision-making system of Europe. And if you are a European country, you have to be in this system. So for us, it is not just wishful thinking, or it's not just love affair, but it is a question of interest, and it's a question of winning Turkey, it's a question of winning the EU. So Turkey is fully committed to the accession process. You know, the day before I was in Istanbul, I had a survey with different groups, you know, 80% of the Turks, they want Turkey to be a member of the EU. So it is true that in the last 2-3 years, we had difficult times. We had 15th of July coup attempt by Fethullah Gülen terrorist organization. We had a crisis in Syria, which caused us many problems of terrorism. You know, we had Daesh problem, we had PKK, PYD, YPG terrorist problem. We had huge number of illegal immigrants in our country and also in the rest of Europe. But also we had destability in Iraq. We had problems in Iran. Now the sanctions are imposed on Iran. And all this negatively affected Turkey's relations with the EU. And this is why EU has taken some, you know, unfair decisions without understanding the situation of the candidate country. Of course, the Cyprus issue is still continuing to poison Turkey-EU relations. And because of the drilling in the island, around the island of Cyprus, EU again has taken one-sided unfair approach towards Turkey and towards the Turkish Cypriots.
Okay,
so this is why the accession process came to a point of standstill, but Turkey will never ever give up. Turkey is committed to the accession process, and we are not talking about membership of Turkey to the EU tomorrow, but we are talking about a membership when Turkey fulfills the membership criteria and when Turkey and the rest of Europe is ready for the Turkish membership to the EU.
Let's go back now on Syria. Yesterday, members of European Parliament adopted resolution, and they warned that Turkey's intervention in northeast Syria is serious breach of international law. They strongly condemned this intervention, and they want you to withdraw your forces from Syria. Do you even consider to do that? Are you going to do that?
The European Parliament, is out of the realities of the world. The European Parliament, and also to some extent, the EU is following developments very late. The European Parliament or the European Union is unfortunately unable to act. They only talk, they only discuss, they don't even know the realities on the ground.
Okay, tell
and
us the reality.
They are taking, some resolutions, they adopt some resolutions on the basis of some lobbying in the corridors of the European Parliament, and they are taking very narrow-minded approaches. So, the European Parliament claims that this is an illegal action. This is not an illegal action. Turkey is trying to secure its own borders. By the way, these borders of Turkey are also borders of NATO. These borders are also borders of Europe. So the Europe's borders start at the eastern borders of Turkey. And unfortunately, in our border, we have Daesh, we have PYDYPG, and especially the PYDYPG killed hundreds of Turkish citizens and pushed and forced at least 300,000 Syrian Kurds from the area that we are trying to liberate, with this operation, towards Turkey. We have 300,000 Syrian Kurds who want to go back to their houses, but they cannot go back because of the PYD, YPG, PKK, control of the area. So if the EU is really concerned about the civilians, if the EU or the European Parliament is really concerned about the Kurds, they should be thankful to Turkey, because Turkey is clearing, Europe's and NATO's borders from terrorist organizations, and Turkey is creating a safe zone, in the border between Turkey and Syria, so that people, displaced people within Syria from, for example, Idlib, they can go, or those Syrians, including Syrian Kurds who are still in Turkey, they can go back to their homes, their villages.
But there are lots of civil casualties there.
There are no civilian casualties. If you want to look for civilian casualties, you can look at Raqqa. You can look at Mosul, which was liberated by some coalition forces. Do you know how many people were massacred and killed, civilians, in Mosul? Did you visit Mosul? Can you see a building standing in Mosul? Did you visit Raqqa, where thousands of innocent people were bombarded indiscriminately? But Turkish operation is taking place on the ground with the boots of the soldiers and with the Free Syrian Army. So we have people of these local towns, and this operation is conducted very carefully. The Turkish army has a lot of experience. We have been fighting against the PKK in towns, in cities. We have been also conducting two operations, the operations Euphrates Shield, the operations Olive Branch in western, Euphrates area, where there was no casualties, and there is no casualties now. Turkey is taking all the measures. Turkey is not joking. Turkey is not having a war against Kurds or against civilians. We are fighting against Daesh and PYD/YPG.
When you mentioned Daesh,
the EP is also concerned about Daesh, thinking that Daesh people will escape. Why they should escape? If the PYD/YPG is honest in fighting against Daesh, they should return these Daesh people to the US or to us. But what they do, what they did also in the past, they released Daesh terrorists so that Daesh terrorists attacked Turkish army in northern Syria. They did exactly the same thing now, but let's not forget the most of Daesh prisoners, Daesh detainees in northern Syria are not in our safe zone area.
So you want to say that all
most
of this is lies actually?
Most of the Daesh members who are detained by the US forces or by PYD/YPG, they are outside of the zone of 32 kilometers. These are not in our safe zone. But they released some Daesh terrorists and we captured all of them, 185 of them. We brought them to Turkey, they are in prison. So which country is fighting against Daesh seriously? It's only Turkey. You know, the Americans, they just bombed Daesh positions and they also killed many civilians. But Turkey is fighting against Daesh, not only in Syria, in Iraq. I was Turkey's ambassador to Baghdad, you know, for 3.5 years. I followed the liberation operation in Mosul. In Mosul, Turkish forces neutralized more than 1,500 Daesh terrorists. In two operations that we have had in Western Euphrates area, we neutralized more than 3,000 Daesh terrorists. Turkey is the only country which is fighting against Daesh. And also we have, you know, thousands of Daesh prisoners in our own prisons in Turkey, some of them came from Western European countries. So this is a joke. You know, the European Parliament doesn't understand anything about northern Syria. They do not understand anything about Daesh fight. They do not understand anything about international law. And I think the EP and the EU should be really thankful to Turkey, because this work was supposed to be done by the international community. In 2010-11, Turkey proposed that we should create a safe zone and we should have a no-fly zone so that, you know, Assad regime cannot bomb its own people.
Okay, we
so
are really like we have
terrorist groups cannot come to this area.
Okay. You said they don't understand, but they requested from Council members of European Parliament a series of targeted sanctions on your country. If any of that happens, how will you respond? What will be your reaction?
First of all, you know, the European Parliament has adopted thousands of resolutions which were not listened to by the European Council, by the Council of Ministers, or by the European Commission. I think by this decision, the European Parliament is only losing its credibility. So we don't think that there will be any, targeted sanctions to be taken, you know, against Turkey, because at the end, everyone knows in their heart, in their mind, that Turkey is doing the right thing. Even, you know, the German defense minister now proposed that we should do this work together, the safe zone thing together. And also tonight, the German foreign minister is flying to Ankara to talk how we can work together. So they all know. And also, by the way, we have an agreement with the EU. You know, 18 March statement that we had with the EU. If you look at Article 9 of this agreement, it says that Turkey, the EU and the member states should make joint endeavors in northern Syria to help the return of Syrians and to create a livelihood, you know, for the safe and secure return of the Syrians. Actually, this is joint responsibility. So we do not expect anything from the EU. I think what we expect from the EU is, you know, better understanding on the realities of the ground. Because some people think that this is like northern Iraq, you know. But the north of Syria is not a Kurdish area. There are some Kurdish towns, where Kurds are really in majority, but most of the north of Syria, 90% of it, is not Kurdish. So, but at the same time, PYD/YPG terrorist organization is controlling one third of Syria. This is, you know, this is something wrong.
Okay, I would like to hear your point of view on Erdogan's statement to EU. I will quote, he said, "If you try to present our operation as an invasion, we will open our doors and send you 3.6 million refugees." European Parliament also and EU in general, they find it unacceptable that Erdogan uses refugees as some kind of weapon to blackmail EU. Do you think that this is a threat, and is he abusing his position with this kind of statements?
No, President Erdogan is just reminding, you know, the commitments of its European allies to the 18 March statement. You know, on 18 March, we agreed on three things. First, one-to-one deal, you know, Turkey accepted to readmit every person who went to the Greek islands illegally, and Turkey readmits them. And EU admitted to take, you know, one Syrian in return. So this deal is working. The second part, EU pledged that EU would support the Syrians if they remain in Turkey with financial assistance. So EU pledged 6 billion euros, you know, in 2016. Today, we are at the end of 2019, only 2.1 million euro has reached the Syrians. This money is not given to Turkey. This money is given to the Syrians. We have 3.7 million Syrians. How many do you have in Croatia? How many do you have in Germany? How many do you have in Sweden? Of course, Germany is also a burden taker country. But what about the other European countries?
So this is not a threat.
Let me explain. This is not a threat. This is a reminder of the commitments. You know, because sometimes our Western European friends do not understand the language that we use, the peaceful language, the language of communication. You know, you nicely remind them their responsibility, but they don't understand. And this is why President Erdogan, you know, put it very boldly, you know, what would happen if the EU does not keep its promise. So the third promise of the migration deal is voluntary humanitarian admission scheme. EU promised that EU would take voluntarily some Syrians from Turkey. But this program has been blocked by the EU. So the most of the burden on migration is on Turkey. And now Turkey is trying to find a solution to this problem by securing its corridors from terrorists, but also by creating a safe zone. And of course, if our allies call this invasion, then this means that EU is completely out of realities, out of touch. So basically, what President Erdogan made, it reminded of the commitments of the, you know, EU countries to the deal that we had. So either you have to solve this problem together, or you have to bear the consequences. Because why we should take the most of the burden of the migration problem? This is not Turkey's problem. This is a common problem. This is a common challenge that we are facing in Europe. And these Syrians, most of them, they don't want to stay in Turkey. They either want to go back to their country, their villages, their towns, when they are secure, when they are safe, or they want to go to other countries in Western Europe. So why we should keep them forever if the EU doesn't share, you know, this common responsibility with us, or if the EU doesn't share the burden of this migration deal? So we are keeping our promise more than, you know, we promised actually, but the EU side is not keeping fully its promise of 18 March. So it's just a reminder. We don't use the language of threat.
But it sounds like that for most of the people.
You know, it depends on, you know, imagine how we see that some resolutions of the European Parliament. You know, they are acting as if they are running the world, as if they decide about everything, as if they know about everything. But okay, as you can see, they are completely out of touch of the realities.
Okay, I will need to interrupt you here. Let's focus now on the relations between our countries. You had a serious meetings yesterday and today with our officials. What were the topics of meetings, and are you interested in economic cooperation with Croatia? Can we expect even more Turkish investments in our country?
We have excellent relations with Croatia. You know, we have more than 400 million euros of investments by major Turkish companies in Croatia. But of course, we want to increase the level of trade, the level of investment, level of commercial exchanges. And so we discussed this, and hopefully soon we want to have Turkey-Croatia joint economic committee meeting, but also joint transport meeting. Tourism is also an important area.
Okay, I would like to ask you there something. Your country is one of the biggest touristic attractions, and do you consider Croatia, do you think that Croatia is your competition?
Not at all. You know, we have millions of tourists in the world. Turkey is a good attraction, but also Croatia is an excellent attraction. But unfortunately, Croatia is losing because of the fact that now Turks require visa to come to Croatia. You know, before you had visa against Turkish citizens, we used to have more than 250,000 Turkish tourists coming mostly to Dubrovnik, to Siplit, to Zagreb, but now it is around 30,000-40,000. So we don't see Croatia as a competitor, but we see Croatia as a big destination, because let's not forget that we have a big population, but we have at least 25-30 million Turks who would like to spend 2-3 weeks in other towns in Europe. So because of this visa issue, unfortunately, we are not using the full potential.
Okay, we will need to finish with this. Your Excellency, thank you for this conversation.
Thank you very much. Interview Media Servisa.